Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Good. We can start here in Daniel chapter 4. Really appreciate Buff's willingness to step up and to help out. Really appreciate this guy. The kingdom is definitely better because him and his family are in it. And even more exciting to be able to celebrate that second birthday in Christ. Yep, so that's awesome. Yeah. Not only is the guy a super spiritual guy, but he's super, super intelligent, both him and his wife. And so if you haven't got a chance to get to talk with them, I encourage you to do that. It's really great having them. Thanks for helping us out. this message for me has been a long time coming, and there's no real reason behind it other than it's just really kind of the meshing of a lot of thoughts. And so because of that, it could really go in any kind of direction. So on top of that, I've got the bug. It's in my lungs, my throat, and in my head, and I just do not feel good. And I will give you my best effort, but I cannot wait to go lay down in my bed. So I don't know how this is going to go, but you know, this could be fun. So Daniel chapter 4, what has happened here in Daniel chapter 4 is the king has seen a dream of a mighty tree that gets the chop. And Daniel lets him know, sorry, friend and king, you are that tree and you're about to get the chop. So God gives the king a year to maybe get the ship turned around, where maybe he stops abusing the poor and taking advantage of the lowly and worshiping other gods, as we read in Psalm today. Verse 29 says, after this 12-month period, he, King Nebuchadnezzar, was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, you know, to a degree, Christianity is simple. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. In other senses, it is the most difficult thing we will ever do in this life. We thank you for your help, as Brother Kevin brought out, that you have not left us alone, but you have given us of your Spirit, and you have set things before us that can be not only joyful and an assurance, but also motivate us to the end. Thank you, God. May we be your humble servants and not prideful like King Nebuchadnezzar, that we would not claim to have done anything by our own hand, as Brother Mike brought out today, that we understand that you are the maker of man and his mind, and that we should give you our love and our worship. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, that really is the purpose of the message this morning, is that Christianity at its core really isn't all that hard. Who are you going to worship? Yourself or God? The worship of God is acute, specific, and there is only one way. The worship of self, well, that can take many different forms, okay? That can be just naming a different god. Or greed, which also amounts to the worship of something other than God. Idolatry, the Bible says. So, that's kind of what this boils down to. Now, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar has had 12 months, okay? I'm trying to gather my thoughts. So lots of distractions this morning, so I'm trying to rein it in. You guys could maybe focus up, face forward. That'd be really helpful. Nebuchadnezzar's got 12 months to right the ship. And the conclusion he comes to, even though he knows his kingdom's about to come chopping down, is, I built it myself. So, I'm going to take us back to Genesis chapter 10. And give Nebuchadnezzar and ourselves a little history lesson here. Genesis chapter 10. Verse 8. Now Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So who does the Bible give the building of Babel credit to? Some Nimrod. I'm usually on top of those, so thanks for your help there. And what does Nebuchadnezzar have the audacity to say? Look at what I have built. Well, Brother Mike brought that out pretty well this morning. You know, who made your mind? Who made your hands and your feet? Anyone who would dare say, look what I have done, is placing themselves as God. The worship of self. How does this work out for Nimrod? Let me turn on over to chapter 11 here in Genesis. Verse 1 says, the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Oh man, you guys keep coming through everywhere. Thank you. You guys are awesome. I got cough drops coming from every corner. You know, Elijah's sitting back there ready to run the mic, and he just simply overhears me, you know, talking to Mikkel, not feeling so good, and he just quietly says, I got a cough drop if you want one. So I really appreciate that kid. He's such a good boy. How many people went on the ark? 8. So what was the population post-flood on the earth? 8. Think they all spoke the same language? I mean, they're from the same family, right? Now, there's going to be, maybe the wives brought in another dialect, but the point is they could all speak to each other. So it ain't all that surprising that a couple chapters later that everybody on the earth speaks English. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, one language, right? Verse 2, it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Any ideas where the Bible says Babylon was? Shinar. Okay, that was for free. Verse 3, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So I'm a young Christian and I'm reading this and I'm up to verse 4 here. And I'm thinking, well, what's the big deal? They just want to build a really tall tower. And they could have built it anywhere. They wanted to build it to heaven. So that seems to me like a good place and a good direction to go. Where does this take a turn for the worst? Oh, verse 4. Let us make ourselves a name. Oops. You know, in some senses, Christianity is simple. Who are you going to worship? God or yourself? In other senses, it is the most difficult thing you will ever do. Because not only is it the laying the side of the old self, which is what you want, and then on top of that, everyone else is cruel and mean right to you. And you have to stay faithful. So we got a little problem here because they want to make a name for themselves. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. And they all speak English. I mean, the same language. That'll make sense later. I'm doing it on purpose. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Really appreciate the Old Testament because we learn a lot from it. We learn what God values and what God says is right and what God says is wrong. We also learn how God deals with that which is wrong, and that's important too. But we also learn a lot about mankind in the Old Testament. And this one particularly important. So, what do you see? When mankind is united together, which is only possible through a united language, wickedness floats to the top. Every single time. The devil is a liar and a murderer. He has been that way from the beginning. And the wicked are willing to do what the righteous are not, which is steal, kill, and destroy. The righteous unwilling to do it. And so he looks meek and humble and lowly. The wicked willing to steal, kill, and destroy. And because they are willing to do that, because they worship themselves, they float to the top into power every time. Think of some of the U.S. cities where the crime rates are significantly higher than, say, Lewistown, Montana. Relatively heavily populated areas or rural areas? Well, they're massive cities. And the crime rate isn't higher simply because there's more people. That is certainly true. But the proportions are drastically skewed, too. You know, you go to Chicago, there's a homicide event 6 per every 1,000 people. You go to Lewistown, it's something like 1.8. Okay, you guys do the math, okay? You see, yeah, sure, more crime happens in a big city because there's more people and more crimes happening. You know, as with the law came in, an increase of the trespass. It's like that just makes sense to me anyway. But it's also skewed disproportionately. Because when you put large groups of people together, wickedness always floats to the top. And it's always in the form of violence. Always. Because this is an issue of authority, is it not? If you're going to worship God other than what you think you know, which is, you know, whatever that is, and you're going to submit your opinions and your thoughts to the thoughts and opinions of God, it's because you've placed Him as authority in your life. So this always comes down to an issue of authority, and authority is always met in opposition with force. Always. Okay? So that's why wickedness floats to the top, and it always floats to the top by means of force, because it's willing to steal, kill, and destroy where the righteous is not. Okay? So, here's what I want us to see in the beginning. God comes down, says, mankind's all together. And really, the extent of what they would be able to do is pretty limitless, he says. But they're trying to make themselves God. So what does God do? He separates them. And how does he separate them? By confusing their language. Okay? And for round figures, for 4,000 years since then, what is mankind doing? Slowly trying to put itself back together. That's what it knows to do. Because it refuses to worship God. So to justify the worship of itself, it's got to build its own tower to heaven. And it's still happening today. From the day God separated them, thousands of years, and every year has gone by, mankind works closer to trying to unite themselves together again. You guys can see it, can't you? God confused their language. And now we have international trade languages that you must learn so we can all communicate, so we can trade goods and services. The top two are English and Mandarin Chinese. Okay. International languages that everybody must know if you want to be on the trade market. If you don't know those, you can't trade. Interesting, huh? Now, I'm not necessarily... you can't really talk about world power without bringing some sort of, you know, talk about America or politics, and not necessarily the goal of the message this morning. But regardless of how you feel about Trump, the world hates Trump. Regardless of how you feel, okay? So that's not my point. But the world, the powers that have sifted to the top, that control all the money, they hate him. You know why? Because he's pro-America. He's a domino that's in the way to the one world centralized government plan. America doesn't just stand for freedom. I mean, there's like 200 countries. Half of them have freedom, probably more than we got. So, I mean, that's a great thing, and we should still protect that freedom, but it's not special to America. But you know what else America stands for? Independence. I mean, we do call it Independence Day, right? And so you've got the leader of the free world, and he's up there on national stages pulling himself out of global organizations and global accords, saying America wants nothing to do with your one world government nonsense, and the world hates him for it because he's this domino in the way, and the whole time he's just crying out, America number one. That's a problem for the wicked who have sifted to the top that want to unify all of mankind together. So regardless of how you feel about him, that's why they hate him. Okay? And what I'm trying to show us, to a degree here, is that Christianity isn't difficult. Choose. Worship yourself or worship God. It's an easy decision, but it is the hardest thing you will do on this earth. The hardest. It is the very laying aside of you. And you get to put it on the back burner and be like David, who cried out to God, okay, God, I'm trusting you, and everybody else around me is wicked, and they are gaining from their wickedness. This is not fair. You ever read the Psalms? That's basically half of it right there. And ever since the Tower of Babel, mankind is trying desperately to get themselves back together in the plains of Shinar. It's called the WHO, the World Health Organization. Why can't you just have an insurance policy so you can go get your dentist, you know, you can go to the dentist and get your teeth clean? Why has there got to be a World Health Organization? Because there's got to be an option for the whole world. The UN was the first real step in this globalization plan. It was. The uniting of the entire... Why are they so interested in uniting the whole world? They did it in Genesis, you guys. And it's what they're doing again. Okay? Now, but this is going to make sense for us, the church. Okay? So, the UN, first real steps in making that happen. You got things like the WHO, the World Health Organization, and you got things like the WTO, which is the World Trading Organization. Can't trade unless you're on the global market. Okay? And it doesn't stop there. We've got our lovely little friend, the central digital banking currency. You know, that's a nice little one that's going to do a number on the world. Okay? But this is when I started to figure out what mankind's up to. And it's when COVID hit. How many countries are in the world? You don't have to get the perfect number. The round figure is about 200. Do you know how many of them did not follow COVID protocols to a T? Maybe three. And even then, and again, please follow me here. This is not a pro-Trump, you know, anti-Trump message. This is not a pro-COVID mandates, you know, this is not the message. I'm trying to show you something here, okay? I'm sitting there when this thing hit, who knew exactly what was going on right away? Oh, yeah, you had this all figured out, and you knew exactly this. We never lived through anything like that before. And to our core, we're good people. We have God inside of us, right? We don't want to hurt other people. We don't want to make them sick and then have them die. Who wants that? So that's easy to prey on, right? See how the wicked are at the top? Manufacturing diseases and sending them through the world. They're going to do what the righteous are not willing. And this is the world that we live in. So then we look back, and they proved that. They proved it. That's not an opinion. For me, it was the global response to the pandemic. And I was like, oh, I've never seen billions of people united instantly just because of one health organization's tweet. Whoa. And I couldn't help but think of Genesis when the world wants so badly. And now through technology, do we have the ability to unite our language? Through technology, can you be in Asia in 16 hours from now, roughly? Yeah, that's incredible. Step by step, the barriers that are standing that keep men from uniting. But when men unite together, what's the only outcome? Wickedness. Because they're doing it because they want to worship themselves and they refuse to worship God. It's why they got to pull God out of the schools. Thank the Lord for our school. They rip it out. And look what's happening to the schools. Right now in this town, the gangs are running the public high schools. A couple of them. And the schools are pretending like it's not there. They're pretending. They're protecting them. Well, you can't tell them what signs they can flash and what things they can say. You can't. They're trying to protect their... They're pretending like it's not happening. You guys go on over to Ephesians chapter 6. And, you know, scripturally, mankind definitely wants to unite itself. That's what we see in Genesis. Now, the rest of this, I just want to encourage you on. I'm not trying to scare you today. I'm just trying to show you. That's what man wants to do. They're like, you ever seen like a third grade... like a second or third grade soccer game? Anybody ever here see like a second or third grade soccer game? Yeah? Yeah. What did Luke always call it? Amoeba ball? Because in soccer you got 11 players, and the whole idea is because it's a really big field. It's not like tennis where you have this tiny little court. Like soccer's a really, really big field. And your idea is to stay in your position because the more spread out you keep yourself, the more passing lanes there are. And then when you're in second or third grade, everybody just follows the ball. So that there's like this big mob of little kids just all running around chasing the ball, right? That's the world. That's mankind. They want so desperately, and the ball is make our tower to heaven and make ourselves God, and they're all chasing that little ball, right? That's scriptural, okay? Now, maybe you have different opinions about what the response to the pandemic is. That's fine, okay? I'm just showing us we are globalizing as a country. And I don't know where it goes. That's where I stop. I don't have any plans for the future or any predictions. But I can see what they're doing, okay? What I want to show us is it's as simple as who you're going to worship. It's as difficult as look what we are up against. You guys see that? This is what we are up against, and it is the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. If there's a UN panel, our war is not with those men and women. It is not against flesh and blood. Okay. But against the rulers, powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from Satan. And that's what we're up against. Right? And you know how the garden went down with Adam and Eve? And that's how it's been ever since then. is Satan always throwing out these little twisted lies to help man promote its own agenda. This is what we're up against. An entire world that wants to globalize itself so it can build its tower to heaven and make itself God. But where's that coming from? The spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Look, there is the battle on earth that we are in because of the battle between good and evil in the spiritual realm. That is where it comes from. Okay. Now, kind of running out of time here. So if you go to Matthew chapter 7, we're happy to make the drive up to Great Falls yesterday. I was sitting next to Kyle Heinbaugh. I was going to lean over and say, let's start putting money on it. As soon as Caleb sees Chloe, he's going to start crying. If you guys know Caleb, you'd know that, you know, why we're making that bet. I made the bet to myself. I lost a bet to myself because she hasn't even come yet and he's already crying, you know. That happy tears, you know. Many of us married, so we understand that feeling. You can relate to that, you know. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, I'll come back to my comment on Caleb here in a minute. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 says, "The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." It's very sad. It's very sad that people would choose self over their salvation and eternity with God, okay? But the Bible's teaching is it is very difficult to enter heaven, and few make it. When Caleb Wilson was a senior in the Christian school, you know, when I was a senior in school, I only had two classes. It was English and history, the two classes you have to have 4 credits in to graduate in Montana. So I got to go to class till 10, and then I got to be done for the day. And our kids are no different, same state requirements. And if they've kept up on their work their senior year, they usually have, you know, a reduced load. You know, they've done their math, their science, and our kids are usually pretty far ahead. So we were looking to give Caleb some extra information to keep him busy during the school day, some stuff that we thought would be good, and I kind of let his dad steer that ship. And so we got him some Restoration Church history literature for him to read. So if you're not familiar with that, in the late 1800s, but mostly the early 1900s, there was a great awakening in this country where a group of men tried really hardly to restore the church to the pattern of the New Testament, and that was called the Restoration Movement. And out of that movement came the Christian churches, which I grew up in, and the Churches of Christ. Out west, we're kind of split between instrumental and non-instrumental, but back east, it's a big deal. And I'll tell you that history lesson some other day. But as the Churches of Christ expanded west, you know, the instrumental ones made their impact, the non-instrumental ones made their impact. So you can go into any town west of the Mississippi, and there'll be an instrumental Church of Christ or a non-instrumental Church of Christ. And my point is, that is the product of the Restoration Movement. So Walter Campbell, Alexander Scott, Alexander Campbell, no, I got that backwards, Thomas Campbell, thank you. So Caleb's reading his Restoration Church literature, and he's reading a letter that Thomas Campbell wrote to his father, Alexander Campbell. And it said this. Paraphrase, because this was years ago. Caleb's not a kid anymore. He's a married man. Says, "We only immersed 40 people this year. It was a down year." So Caleb's flag goes up. "Mr. Toole?" "Yes, Caleb?" "How is 40 new Christians a year a down year?" "Well, what's a good year for Billings?" "Well, boy, if you could get one a month, you'd be cooking, right?" "Right, that's for my kids." "Yep, that was for you, Damien." "If you could get one a month, you'd really be doing a pretty good job." So you can see why there's Caleb's confusion, right? How is 40 a down year? Well, you got to remember, and so the story as it goes, Walter Scott, anyway, You could show up to a small town in Indiana, okay, and you could show up on a Thursday night and say, shut the town down tomorrow and meet at town hall. I'm going to be preaching. And the entire town would come because there wasn't an NFL ticket and Netflix, okay, and games on your phone. So everybody, you know, they'd shut down the burger joint in the local cafe, and everybody'd go to town hall, and they'd listen to the preacher. People were pretty spiritual. You have to understand, this is during a great spiritual awakening in our country. And you could preach to thousands of people and immerse dozens that night. Okay? And then you'd pack up and you'd go to the next town. And then next week you'd come in on a Thursday and you'd say, I'm in town, I'm preaching Friday night, shut her down. And you could immerse a dozen more. And you'd do that for 52 weeks. You could convert a lot of people to the Lord, right? So can you see how then 40 might be a down? They're used to getting 40 a weekend, right? Now they're getting 40 a year. Yeah. You know, if we get 12 a year, I mean, we are just jumping out of our boots, right? You guys see how this is going? Okay. Mankind growing closer to God or further away from God? I mean, we can't even get you off the YouTube, you know, let alone get you to go to town hall. What's town hall? I mean, do we even have one? You know, like, yeah. Matthew chapter 13, we'll close up. Don't necessarily need to read the whole thing, but Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed fell on the road. And you guys know how it goes, right? Seeds being scattered, the seed is the word of God. It's the gospel. And when it falls on the road and then the birds come and eat it, Jesus teaches that that's somebody who never received the seed. They rejected it. Right? They never became a Christian. They rejected the word of God. The other three seeds do get sown, don't they? And these are people who do receive the word implanted, right? But depending on external circumstances, maybe they didn't sow it very well and it was in shallow ground, so that way when it got really hot, it scorched it and killed it, right? Or maybe it was sowed in a place where there was enough room to make, you know, a root bed, but it had surrounded itself by weeds, which would be the worries of the world, and then the weeds choke out that seed, and then it dies, right? The last seed is the one that's sown in good soil, and then it multiplies some hundredfold. And this is the one who was found faithful. You guys see the illustration? So what I, just in closing, am trying to show us is, the gate is what that leads to life? Small, right? And the path is narrow that makes it to heaven. The gate is small and the way is narrow. And few are those who find it, okay? And then those who find it, which is already the few, right? That didn't reject it, but find it, how many of them keep it all the way to the end? A third. You know, you don't have to keep the round figures. This is an illustration, right? You got three seeds that were sown. One, the world gets them. Two, the world gets them. The third one, they remain faithful. So of the ones that actually stick, only a third of those are going to remain faithful to the end and then not fall away. You guys see that picture? Do you see why I'm trying to tell you? This is the most difficult thing on earth you are going to do. Because the people who even get in the first place, it's a tiny, tiny amount. And then of those who make it in, it's an even smaller amount that see the thing out through the end. You have the picture? So yeah, it's simple. Who's your God? You or the Lord? You've picked the Lord. Amen? But is this the most difficult thing left on earth that you have left to do then? You bet. Not everyone makes it. How bad do we need each other? I wake up Friday night. I already know. Like, I sat out on the Friday night activities. I know I've got the bug. It's coming. Okay. I wake up Saturday morning just feeling miserable. Okay. Nothing like a 6-hour road trip on top of it, you know. And I wake up today just feeling miserable. Now, I haven't shaken your hands and I used my hand sanitizer, right? But how important is it that we know that we've got each other's back? And how important is it that you're here? You just being here, maybe you don't feel so good. Maybe it was tough to get here. You don't think those thoughts aren't going through my head when I wake up this morning? Boy, life would be a lot easier if I could just stay in bed. But to me, this is so valuable. And it's not just my, you know, assessment of the church's value. Like, you being here is so important. Just your presence encourages others. Hey, this is hard. What does that communicate, you guys? It's like, hey, you know, you showed up. I'll just say Kendall, for example. Kendall showed up. Life's hard. This is the hardest thing he's got to do, is to be faithful in this life. It is the hardest thing. We see that from the scripture, right? And but then he shows up, and then every one of you come. And he knows that it's difficult for you too. And maybe he knows about Buff's struggles. Maybe he knows how work's going and how his boss is being unfair. I'm making all this up. Okay? You guys see the picture though? Doesn't that encourage Kendall? Hey, you mean this is hard for you too, John? How long you been faithful? Did you see all the crowns of glory over here? When they were standing up here for the Lord's Supper? You see all the crowns of glory on this side? The gray hairs? You see all the hair still dark over here, or at least it's being, you know, dyed every morning? You know? It's like, yeah. Well, that's all I saw, was a big string of gray hair. You know, I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I got like one or two grays, you know, but the rest of it's still pretty good, right? How long have you been faithful, bro? Round figures. Yeah. And it hadn't been easy, has it? No. See how encouraging that is to me? I know it's hard for him. I know it's hard for you. Because the Bible says, few are those who make it. And then those who make it, a third of them are the only ones that stick it out to the end, because it's hard. It's the hardest thing we're going to do. And that's why God designed the church. Okay? We stumble, we wrong each other. You know, these things happen and they shouldn't, and we've got to be really engaging the new creation, brethren. Okay? And while we're being patient with each other through the concepts of grace and mercy, because those are there too, okay? We've got to be working. We're here to be an encouragement to one another. So I'm here this morning not because I want to get you sick. I've tried to keep my distance, but just to be an encouragement. Like, guys, this is simple. There's a tower being built, and you can build it for God or you can build it for your own name. The world wants so badly to build that tower for its own name, and it will stop at nothing to unite itself so it can accomplish that goal. God looked and saw what was happening and said, that's not good. If mankind unites itself like that, there's no gospel message left for Jesus. I can't let that happen. What are they doing? What are they doing, brethren? They're amoeba ball, and they're coming together. And what's God's answer to it? Because does he want that to happen again? So what's his answer? The church. The light of the world. To be that beacon to pull anybody out who's willing to worship anything other than itself. And that's us. And we need each other. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we trust your plan. We thank you for your word. Happy to learn these lessons. Let's be willing to lay aside our own selves. It is no longer we who live. When we were immersed into Christ, the old man was put to death, and you, Christ Jesus, indwell us. The lives that we live in the flesh, we live by faith in you, Lord God, because you gave yourself up for us because of your love. We're on that narrow path, and my prayer is for every single one of us to make it. The Bible says that, you know, not everyone's guaranteed that victory. We have to walk in faith. Let's remember that this is difficult, and that we would be there to help and support one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.